This Gamertag episode is brought to you by Gamefly. If you've ever wanted to try a game before you bought it, you should try Gamefly. It's the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games and movies. They're the leading video game rental service with over 9,000 titles to choose from. Just pick your favorite games and have them mailed straight to your door. Then keep them for as long as you want and never worry about late fees. Plus, you can cancel at any time. Visit Gamefly.com/Gamertag to start your free 30-day trial today. That's Gamefly.com/Gamertag.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 572. This is your host, Danny. And also joining us this week, the co-host, weekly co-host of the show, we have Paris.
What's going on?
Ready for E3 or what?
Not really.
Okay, but, that means he's not.
Yeah. You can never be ready for E3.
Yeah, right now we're like calm, chilling. But once we get over there, dude, it's going to be crazy work, man. Crazy work. And also joining us this week, Pete Rock. Pete is back in the house. Pete, what's up?
I'm back, man. How you doing?
Good, man. How was the trip to Orlando?
The trip to Orlando was fantastic. It was the trip to Gainesville that had me uneasy. And to Paris's delight, it gave me and my son the feeling of being in prison.
Why is that a shock? It's Gainesville. It's the Gators. They suck.
No, it makes you happy because my son is still sold on FSU.
Of course. Why wouldn't he be? It's the greatest university in the world.
Wow.
And it pains me to say it. Unless there's a miracle that happens in 2 weeks at UCF, it's more than likely appears that he's going to be a null.
So have you tried to change his mind, Pete, a few times or no?
This is a decision that he's going to have to live with the rest of his life. I am not going to tell him where he will go. I mean, A, I can tell him he's going to go to UM, but I'm not paying for it. But, I mean, we've got the Florida College prepaid program, so his college is paid for up to a certain amount, etc., as long as, you know, if it's a private school like a UM, and then he might get a year or two out of it. He might get a semester or two out of that. But, you know, like schools like FSU, UCF, UF over Gainesville, things like that, they have a, you know, they take it a lot easier on Florida residents. So that first opportunity of going to the big one at FSU really hit him. He really, really liked it. And on top of that, he's got two friends in his current squad. Actually, I want to say 7 out of his 10 close friends at school are all seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 or 3 of them have already been accepted and going to Tallahassee in August. So he's kind of using that as an opportunity to go to college next year, but have someone there who can show him the ropes and, you know, show him, you know, this is what you do, this is what you don't do in your freshman year. So me personally, I want him to go completely blind, have no friends, have nobody, get that ramen and pizza life experience as a child, because you never get that. And that's the perfect opportunity for you to grow up as a mm-hmm. human being. And, you know, it's what he wants to do. And so my only concern as a father, as a parent, is I just want him to get the best education he can. And I know he'll get that at FSU. I just know I'm just going to keep sending him hurricane gear all throughout the semester.
and then Paris is going to be sending FSU gear.
No,
I'm behind your back.
I'm just going to have him like sending pictures of like middle fingers and like have him emailing him directly to Paris. That's it.
Oh no. All right. So remember, E3 2016 happening June 14th through the 17th. And listen to our quick promo here.
Gamertag Radio is headed to E3 2016.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio, and you don't want to miss this.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo direct from the convention center floor.
Get daily interview, roundtable discussion, the latest news from the crew,
everything you need to know,
all the latest gaming coverage, developer interviews, VR, and more.
E3 2016 coverage from Gamertag Radio.
June 13th through the 17th. GamertagRadio.com or play.it/Gamertag.
All right, so we have a lot of interviews lined up for during the week of E3, and I am super excited about this. And at the same time, I'm going to get to see, you know, the crew, Paris and Pete, and it's going to be a crazy, crazy week. So remember to subscribe to the show, and you're going to be getting daily content, multiple episodes per day from June 14th all the way to the 17th. And maybe we have some surprises. You never know. So stay tuned and be ready. It's going to be crazy. So this week we have, for this episode, we have fan mail once again. Continue with your voicemails. Send it to the whole crew. And also this time we have predictions. It's going to be CamCom. So hopefully Pete and Paris are prepared with their CamCom predictions later on the show. So head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, and listen to our past episodes. And also you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. You could give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us fanmail@GamertagRadio.com.
Fanmail@GamertagRadio.com.
All right, so we're going to play the first voicemail. This is also has a CamCom prediction and a question. Check it out.
Hey, guys, it's Ben from Tennessee. I was actually calling back to kind of rephrase my original questions because my first one was pretty bad. But I wanted to call to say that I got a prediction and a question for you. You guys are doing E3 predictions on CapCom, so I wanted to give you this prediction that blatantly is pretty obvious. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. So we've seen pretty much all the Resident Evils remastered on the new systems. So I think what we're going to see at E3 this year is Resident Evil 2 remastered and then a teaser of Resident Evil 7. Really think that we're leading up to that because they've already released 0, 1, I think they released 3, 5, and 6. I don't know if they've done 4 yet, but they've remastered pretty much every single one of them, but 2 and 4 or 3. I think those are the only three I'm not sure of. And my question to you guys is my last one pertaining to E3, since we're getting really close to it. I had to ask, what was it just out of each person individually, what would be your favorite interview that you've had, like generally with somebody? Like, who is usually your favorite people to interview during E3? I'd love to hear your feedback again. And before I go, I wanted to say, Danny, congrats on Gamertag Radio making it out to the awards in Chicago. Really hope you win what you're nominated for. I think it was like, yeah, Games and Hobbies. Really hope you get the win on that, man. You guys deserve it. You guys kick butt. And look forward to future shows and keep giving you guys more questions as I keep on coming up with them. All right, guys. See ya.
All right, so he talked about a little bit about CamCom, which we're also going to be talking about that later on. But first, before
we talk
that,
about it now, seeing that he's talking about a CamCom prediction, why would we discuss his CamCom prediction and wait 30 minutes later to give ours? Let's just do it now.
All right,
Leo.
Let's go,
Miss Leo.
We'll go for it, Miss Leo.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby. And I've given them my E3 2016 predictions. You hear me?
We're only doing this because you asked the first question and it was all about our predictions, so... There you go.
Actually, it's right. Your fault, Danny, for putting it first. You should have put it last.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
Your poor production skills is going to force us to break the show apart now. Good job, Danny.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, who would like to start?
I will.
I started last time.
I'll start.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my prediction is this.
What?
Lost Planet is coming back, and it's going to be an open world game, and it's going to be a shared universe, just like Destiny or The Division. That's what Capcom's going to do.
Shared Done. Snowballs.
Huh. Yo, yes. I don't see
hey,
that.
Hey, let me dream. You
I'll
can't.
Let you dream. I'll let you dream. I'll let you
dream. I can dream.
Paris. There's a reason why I have a feeling why that's not going to happen. It's because, remember a long time ago, they announced a Lost Planet movie? Never happened. Reviews of Lost Planet in the past, not so great. And I believe they spent so much money on the marketing on the first game. I just don't see that happening at all. That's just me. But I'll let you dream.
Let me dream. Because look, I look at it this way. It's easy to go, oh, something Resident Evil or whatever. Maybe they might bring something Mega Man back or Street Fighter or something like that. I'm trying to think outside the box. Hmm? Let me dream.
I'll let you dream. Pete, can I post my dream? Can I say something about my dream?
Go for it, man. I don't know why you're asking me for permission. This is your show.
Oh, Pete, did you hear last week's episode?
I unfortunately have not.
Okay, I have to say it. He literally asked me a question. I start answering it. He cuts me off and answers his own question.
That's like every other episode of Gamer Tag Radio. Yeah.
Come on. It's entertaining. I know you were laughing in the car when you were listening to that, Paris.
And then he goes, I'm sorry. I'm just excited. That's his excuse every time.
I'm excited. Who is not excited about E3? I'm super excited about E3. I think.
Danny interrupts radio.
I know, right? Forget about Gamer Tag Radio. And it should be me. The logo should be me pushing everybody, pushing everybody before they say something. Now, on the real though, I think the return of Dead Rising coming back for Xbox One. I think the first one, it got a great buzz for the launch of Xbox. It wasn't perfect or anything like that, but I see Microsoft maybe getting that exclusive again for this console coming up.
Danny. You can dream, but
you can also
no third parties giving up exclusive. They're not doing that no more. That's dead. That's a dinosaur.
Why? Because of the whole Street Fighter thing? Low sales?
No, well, unless it's a thing of the game's not going to be made and basically Microsoft or Sony or Nintendo saying this is the only way it gets made because we're financing it. But I think the days of the exclusive console game are gone. And part of it has to do with Street Fighter didn't perform as well as it should. Titanfall didn't perform as well as it should. I don't see these publishers making that drastic investment anymore unless they own the IP.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that and also maybe because how much money they're going to be getting too from the companies that want that exclusive too.
Right. Look at Tomb Raider. Oh, you know what? Tomb Raider. I dropped the mic. Done. Tomb Raider. That I don't think anybody's doing anything after Tomb Raider. That was a colossal disaster.
I honestly think it got worse because of the whole Street Fighter. And it wasn't because of the whole exclusive part. I think it was because...
Well, they half-assed launched the game. That didn't half-assed, help either.
Yeah. 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 I mean, look, it's my prediction. I go with Dead Rising. And I mean, I don't know what else I could come up with, but Pete, you want to go next?
I think Resident Evil was the big elephant in the room. I think everybody's wanting one. I just don't give me another giraffe logo and I'll be happy.
Wow.
That Resident Evil 6 logo will never, ever leave my mind. It's the most horrendous, disgusting, filthy, nastiest thing I've ever seen as a logo. Dead Rising popped in my head. I know that there was a rumor mill post on the gaff. I think it was yesterday. And one of the people were saying that they saw some kind of a trailer or something, hidden trailer for E3 predictions. And Dead Rising was on there. I think the last game was, what, 2006 or something like that? So it's been a while. Wouldn't be surprised.
2006?
Was it? Wasn't it?
Pete,
the first one. First one was 2006. Okay, so 2000... Okay. So whatever, it's.
But remember, it launched on the Xbox. The launch for the Xbox, a new Dead Rising.
Right. So
Dead Rising. Again.
Dead Rising. I mean, I just got a new Mega Man Legacy Collection back in February of this year. I bought it like in November of last year, and I had to wait 4 months for it to come out. All gold. It's still wrapped on my shelf. But they just launched a new cartoon. And it's possible this could be a sign of a franchise revival by Nintendo, by Capcom itself. So why not? I don't see why not. I would love to see a DMC, a new Devil May Cry. It's been a while since, you know, DMC came out, what, 2013, I want to say. I know they did a special edition release last year, definitive edition, special edition, something like that. But I think it would be dope to continue where they went with the duel, you know, with Dante. I like the new haircut. I don't care what anybody says. And then I'm gonna go out on a limb here.
Okay.
Onimusha. That's it.
Continue, please.
I'm straight up pulling that out of my booty hole.
Why? There's a reason why.
2012 was the last time an Onimusha title came out. Did it underperform? Maybe, but this is Capcom. They throw money behind all of their IPs to support them, and I'm just gonna throw it out of my ass right there. Just Onimusha. I've got no definitive or any scientific proof. I pulled this out. I literally like reached into the magic bag of rumors and pulled it out.
Well, so it's tricky to see where Capcom is gonna announce these games during different press conferences, because they announced, you know, Street Fighter at the PlayStation press conference, and then Dead Rising in the past, you know, at the Xbox press conference. So it's going to be kind of hard where they're going to be announcing, if they do, any announcements of all these games and stuff. So
also to support my Onimusha bull, Capcom actually registered a new trademark for the Onimusha title back in December of last year. So who knows?
So that's what
you never
you're right.
Know. Who knows?
Maybe you're right.
Is anybody maybe taking right. score on these, by the way?
I don't know, man. So far, our prediction has been like very left field, especially this Lost Planet open world by Paris.
No,
I don't know, man.
I just can't see it. Hey, I pulled Onimusha out of my ass, okay? But Lost Planet, the concept that Paris is discussing does kind of make sense. My only concern with Lost Planet getting any more future support is just it's can you consider Lost Planet a failure as a franchise? I mean, I still remember playing that on the first on Xbox 360 and the character doing that 90 degree swivel spin. And it reminds me of like Terry Crews and White Girls or White Chicks when he starts dancing in the club, raving with the glow sticks. And it was just such a herky jerky title. I just don't know. And I think Dead Space did the snow area so much better. I don't know if Capcom can top the snow aliens fighting terrain.
You know this? I just don't see them having the budget for that, man. That's the issue that I see with this. But hey, let Paris dream. Yes, that's Paris dream. Now, was there any favorite interviews in the past, or maybe something we might pop up during this year's E3?
Paris interviewing Bonnie.
Well, I'm not saying anything. Okay, carry on.
Why not?
The funny thing about that was getting to talk to her last year, her and Kiki Wolfkill, and we all got to laugh about that. I thought that was hilarious. And to find out that she's just as nervous talking to us as we are to her, or as I were to her, was to her. So that was pretty cool.
You know what? They all of them feel the same way, Paris, right? Every time we interview.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
But to answer this, I was just thinking about this. I almost feel like saying the Phil Spencer interview is just kind of like cheating, because that's an easy one to do. I don't know. That's tough, man. That's tough. It's a tough one. Come back to me. I got to think about that for a second.
All time favorite or just like from last year?
Whenever.
Since you started, I
don't have many to pull from. So, you know, and I was on painkillers the first one. So I don't have a lot of memories.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie, dude. I was on a lot of painkillers. A broken ankle traversing E3. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Just based off of last year, I'd probably say, and like Paris said, this is, you know, you're taking the top shelf ones just out of spite. That Aaron Greenberg interview that we did,
Yeah, I was gonna say that, but I feel the same way about Paris too. Like, it's kind of cheating.
But it is kind of cheating, but because it literally felt like it was just four guys sitting on a couch at E3,
hanging out,
and just shooting the poo versus a high level Microsoft exec and three guys from a podcast. You know, talking about Xbox, it didn't feel as contrived as the rest of them, and a lot of that comes from just the natural rapport we have with Aaron. He's comfortable and easy to talk to, so you know, I'm just gonna go quick route and just say Aaron's.
Well, I think if it was last year, I think Aisha Tyler was pretty big one.
Yeah, I didn't see. I was just there for pictures at the beginning and to walk her in, and then I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Deuces.
You know what? It was just a vibe. Like, at first, I'm like, man, she looks like she's not in the mood to talk. She has those glasses on. You know, as soon as she sits down, totally different person, start laughing, cracking up. And Paris and I, we were just here hanging out and chilling. It was good. It was a pretty cool intro. I think it was more of a highlight, more for Paris than me. Because Paris was like, man, I'm a fan of your stand up and a bunch of other stuff, right, Paris? Or
Oh yeah. See, again, I didn't want to use her either because again, I feel like that's cheating because it's easy to say that.
No, it's not.
Get the high profile ones, and it's too easy.
Yeah. Oh man, it's like I'm like trying to really go back in the archives. You know what?
You've got 10 years worth.
I got one, and this one wasn't something that. God, did it? I guess I did put it on Uncle Gamer. It had to have been. But when I got to basically get a private demo of BioShock at E3 2007 with Ken Levine, that has to have been it because it was just, we're just playing the game. He's just talking about the game. It was just so relaxed and chill. That's got to be the one for me. Yeah, I'll say that.
That's a good one. It's hard when you have like so many interviews, man. Right, it's like so hard.
Yeah, no, I know. You just go over the years. I think the most hilarious one. Again, this was with you, and I think this one was 2007. Yeah, this was 2007. Was the Cliffy B one because I fanboyed out. That was pretty funny. I remember that one.
Oh yes, you're right. That was a pretty good one. I forgot about that. And also Peter Moore when he used to work for Xbox.
You know what? I take it all back. I take all of what I just said back. Again, dude, 2007 must have been the year. It was Peter Molyneux. Because he told
Peter Molyneux because too. He was in the same party. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he told me everything about Fable 2 and then politely asked me not to say anything. And I didn't. That had to be the best one because he was really cool. Yeah. He was a very, very nice man.
That was the one during the hotel days, right?
Yeah. That was at the hotel.
Oh,
Danny walking around with a laptop and the PlayStation Eye or the Xbox Eye camera, whatever that thing was.
No, it was a Xbox Vision camera.
Yeah, it was a Vision camera. I remember that because we're at the Microsoft media briefing at the high school, and Danny was literally with the camera like streaming it. And like showing all of us to the crowd, the whole thing. I was like, this dude's a freaking maniac. What's wrong with him?
But you know what? You know what's so cool about that? I'll never forget this. Every other site was having issues with stream. And for some reason, we got lucky and everybody found that live stream and everybody was watching it through the streaming that we had up on our website. And it was a crappy little camera. And the mic we were using basically... the microphone from the computer. So that's how we were doing everything. Wow, so ghetto. This is all before Twitch and all that. Wow.
I mean, think classic, about it. Man. I mean, it was almost 10 years ago now.
Crazy. Yeah. Woo. Crazy, crazy.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we have another voicemail. This is Sonny all the way from Oregon.
Hey, guys. This is Sonny in Oregon, a.k.a. Consignary Salt. Yeah, I'm always salty, I guess. I'm always angry. Anyway, just listened to your latest episode on Monday, Memorial Day. And quick question. You guys are talking about the integration of Windows 10 into the Xbox and vice versa. I play the majority of my games on Steam and then also on Xbox One. I got a certain group of friends I play with on Steam, certain group of friends on Xbox One. Do you think there's going to come a day soon that those two will be integrated together, whether you can access Steam via Xbox One or, like you guys are saying with Windows 10, are you going to be able to access all your games through Windows 10? I'm a big Madden player. And one of the main reasons I have an Xbox is because I play Madden with a select group of people on Xbox. Will there be a day where if I have a computer, which I do, I can play Madden through Windows 10 with my friends who have Madden on Xbox One? Appreciate what you guys do. Always listen to you. You make mowing my lawn that much fun. More funner, more fun. All right, thanks, Pete.
All right, Paris and P, I believe this is for you guys about Windows 10, Xbox, and Steam. He's a huge fan of Madden, so go for it.
I think there is a world where that could happen. I just don't see it happening anytime soon. I think because what it is with Xbox doing this whole Windows 10 platform and Xbox integrating everything, they're still going to stick with you need to basically sign on to Xbox Live and play with your friends on there and do all that. I don't see them integrating Steam into this at all. Like this time last year, I really thought they were going to partner up with Valve and do something like that. But it's very apparent now they're going to stick to their own platform and their own ecosystem, and they're not going to integrate anything in. Now, there could be the scenario, like you brought up Madden, whereas EA could have Madden for Windows 10. And yeah, you can cross play with someone on the Xbox Scorpio, for example, and you'd be able to have an online match together. I could see that happening, you know, as third parties decide to get on board with this. But for sure, we're going to see that with first party Xbox titles.
Because the thing is, what about Origin? They don't want to.
That's what I'm saying.
With Steam.
Yeah, that's right. What I'm saying. EA has Origin, and they're going to, like, look, we got our own thing. We want you to play on our own thing. But maybe Microsoft works with EA since they seem to be kind of closely partnered and saying, all right, if you have Madden on Origin on the PC, we'll allow it to play with someone on Xbox Live. Because really, for the Madden servers, you're still logging. EA controls their own servers, right? So, I mean, in that scenario, why would Microsoft care? I mean, again, I'm not saying it's going to 100% happen, but I could see a scenario like that eventually happening. So,
All right. Any thoughts about that, Pete?
I can't disagree with it. I mean, like he said, it's you're competing with ecosystems at this point and not specific titles or anything. And I think Microsoft and it's now using Xbox as an ecosystem as opposed to a console or whatnot. Now there's too much at stake for them to split off and try to merge or join Steam as the platform. Now they're just going to move forward and say Xbox is where you're going to get your games. And like Paris and everybody else has said over the last couple of weeks, they don't care whether you're playing on an Xbox or whether you're playing on a Windows box. As long as you're playing and getting a game from the Xbox store, they don't care. You're spending the money regardless of what the device you're playing it on is.
All right. So we have a new email that just got here right now.
I'll read it. This is from Omar. Thanks for writing in, Omar. Hey guys, love the podcast. Extremely informative on the gaming industry. I had a question maybe y'all can help with. I'm in the market for a new gaming monitor. What brands or models do you recommend? I know Asus monitors are pretty popular. Also, I would be mostly gaming on consoles. Should I go ahead and just get a 1080p monitor or wait and see what happens at E3 and go for a 4K monitor instead? Any advice would be appreciated. Thank you. Me personally, if you're going to be playing on a console, don't even bother with 4K until a specific console can support 4K gaming. Doesn't matter whether you're looking at the Neo or the Xbox 1.5 digital, whatever they're going to call it. It's not going to support 4K gaming. So unless it's going to multitask for something else, maybe 4K video streaming, and that's okay. I couldn't tell you to go with a 4K box. As far as a recommendation, I would probably recommend the one that I'm actually looking at right now. It's a QNX QX2710. I bought it around January of this year for $200 on eBay. The vendor is still has a whole bunch of them. They're actually shipped straight from Korea. It's a Korean IPS 1440 monitor. It does virtual 4K. So it's not a true 4K monitor, but it does do 2560 by 1440 and it rocks. It's a champion. It's best monitor I've ever had. Looks fantastic as well. And I'll go to Paris for his recommendations, his thoughts.
Well, on the flip side for me, I actually, my gaming PC is hooked up to a 50-inch 4K TV, and I don't use this for work productivity. I actually just work off a laptop. But, I mean, as far as gaming goes, it's fine. I mean, I like it. And when, if you compare the price to what you spend on these type of monitors, like Pete is saying, I mean, what does this TV cost? I think Black Friday deals, like, what, $500 or something like that? So it works for what I, for my gaming needs. And, yeah, I have a PC, and I lightly tread into 4K with it right now with gaming, but mostly 1440p gaming. You know, that 1080 coming soon. You know, but it, I mean, as far as 1080p content, this is where my PlayStation 4 is hooked up. This is where I, you know, I play Destiny and all that in 1080p. I mean, it's fine. It's great. Again, it just depends on how much money do you want to spend. I mean, like what Pete recommended as far as just standard monitors go, those are fine. If you're just console gaming, I'm assuming you're not worrying about speakers. You probably have headsets or something that you're using, so sound isn't an issue. So you don't necessarily need to get some kind of 4K TV or something like that. So again, just comes down to price.
My advice too is wait until after E3. Maybe they'll have some pretty cool announcements, maybe some deals. You never know. Wait till after E3 and then you could decide from there too.
Well, if you can really, really wait till Black Friday, because those are going to be the best deals that you get on monitors, TVs, or whatever you decide to go with. But if you got to get something now, then yeah, I would agree with Danny. Just give it a couple weeks after E3 to see what announcements come out. All right, let's take a minute to get a word from our sponsor. Are you ready to save money and play more games? Then let me introduce you to Gamefly. Gamefly is the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games and movies. Just go to Gamefly.com, pick your favorite games, and have them mailed directly to your door. Gamefly is the leading video game rental service. Over 9,000 titles to choose from. Lets you try your favorite games and movies before you buy. You get to keep the games as long as you want. You never have to worry about late fees, and you can cancel at any time. And like I said before, Gamefly now offers movie rentals too. So go to Gamefly.com/gamertag and start your free premium 30-day trial today. That premium trial allows you to check out 2 games and or movies at a time. You can only get this offer by visiting Gamefly.com/gamertag. So go sign up now. Start playing your favorite games or watch your favorite movies absolutely free for 30 days at Gamefly.com/gamertag.
All right. Thanks to Gamefly for sponsoring this week's episode. All right. So we have another voicemail. This is from a longtime listener, first-time caller.
What's up, Gamertag Radio? It's Benny Corona LT, caps on the LT. That is my gamer tag and PlayStation Network ID. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I have 2 quick questions for you and then a little side note. Let's just do the side note out of the way. I think the external box on the PlayStation VR, that has all of the extra horsepower that the Neo is eventually going to have built in. I think Paris might have mentioned that a couple episodes back, so I have to agree with that there. First of 2 questions real quick. Xbox One Slim, I don't think, you know, for it to be cheaper, 40% smaller, 2 terabyte hard drive is what we're hearing. I think they're taking the disk drive out, guys. I think Microsoft's going to sell 2 versions, a disk-based version, either the 500 gig, the 1 terabyte at whatever price. You're looking at a cheaper alternative to compete, 200, 250. All digital. People going digital anyway. You want 4K streaming. It'll have HDMI 2.0 with high dynamic range processing color pass-through on the new model. I don't think Xbox One Slim should be slim. I think it's going to be Xbox One Digital. They're not going to get rid of the disc-based version. This is just giving you the option. You want to go cheaper. You want to stream everything. You want to download everything. Forget Blu-ray. Forget DVD. Forget the physical media. You still want that? You got the other options out there. They're not going to stop selling and making those, but I think we're definitely going digital with this one. The other question I had is the NX. Nintendo saying not exactly a replacement to the Wii U. It's something different, a different way to play games. I think in Nintendo's world, when they can't compete with Xbox and PlayStation, pound for pound for third-party companies, what guys think that, you know, NX is the system you're only going to get Nintendo games on, of course, but it's an open platform, kind of like Android devices, maybe compatible with Steam as well. Something that isn't completely closed out in terms of development for, publishing for. Just an idea, just food for thought. What do you guys think? Let me know. Keep up the good work. Listen to you guys all the time at work and when I'm driving. And also, guys, I don't have to dream because Titanfall 2 this October. Yee-haw! Gamer Tag Radio, Benny Corona, signing out.
All right, he's talking about the Xbox Slim going strictly digital. No disc drive in there. I believe I mentioned that a couple weeks ago, and that was my dream. And Pete and Paris tried to shut it down.
Yep.
Saying, no, that's not going to happen. But in a way, what he said, though, he said that at least you have an option to buy a digital hard drive if you want to play digital, or if you want disc, buy the older version.
Here's the problem.
Why not?
Here's a problem with both of your dreams. Because, look, if I can't have Lost Planet, you can't have this either. They're not going to keep the old Xbox One in production. So where's the model with the disc drive? So you're telling me they're literally going to make two Slim models, one with the disc drive and one without. I don't see that happening. Like I get what he's saying. I get what you're saying. If Microsoft had their way at the beginning of this generation, absolutely this is what the Slim would be, because they want an all digital future. They want all your games to be digital. They don't want you to have a disc. But part of the appeal of having this Xbox One as all media device under your TV is that Blu-ray drive to play your Blu-ray movies. And eventually, we're assuming here, probably your 4K Blu-ray movies as well. So unless Microsoft's going to go with two Slim SKUs, I don't see this happening. Probably not until the next console generation, potentially, which, hell, who knows what the hell that is. It was the Scorpios. It might be Pisces or something. You know, Taurus, I don't know.
Look, if they're going to go with the whole, you know, Windows 10, everything, Paris, well, you guys play Steam. That's all digital content.
But that's not what the console.
But it's possible for them to say, hey, let's make that happen for consoles too.
What about the Blu-ray drive, though? What about, again, 4K Blu-ray? So just they're throwing that out the window. They don't care about that anymore.
Paris, as people say the same thing back in the days when they put an Ethernet cord in there, not cord, an adapter there for if people want to play like online games. Remember when everybody was still in the 56K modems using that?
But you're taking a feature away. You see what I'm saying? You're taking a feature away and you're not providing an alternative to it. That's my point. Is basically, in other words, only, hey, unless you're an early adopter of the Xbox One, no Blu-ray drive for you.
Let me ask you this. Which one you prefer? If you had a choice, disc or no disc?
Disc, because I'm a cheap wad, and if I buy a physical game, I want to be able to take it to GameStop, trade it in, or go sell it to one of my buddies.
Because, look, one of my predictions, too, is that I could see Microsoft and Sony doing this. You could trade in your digital games to their store, you get a cheaper, money back, and you could use that as credit to buy whatever you want at their store.
Now,
that's possible,
but
too.
But now you're at the mercy of what GameStop /Amazon, let's just say, says what your game is worth. You can't sell it yourself on Craigslist or something.
Now, so, isn't this something that Keon brought up like two voicemails ago? Or something
he may have
about digital content or something like that, returning digital games for like 10% of the value or something like that because it's a digital product or whatever. I don't think that's a good idea. Simply like Paris said, you're putting that concept of value out of the consumer's hands. If the consumer's paying $60, if they've had it for 2 days and they decide to return it, and GameStop or PlayStation or whatever marketplace you purchase it from gives you the opportunity to return it back for some sort of credit. How do they, I don't know how do they place a value on a returned digital item that you could have potentially copied and or you know, maybe you ran some kind of a program that did a mirror image of it, and then boom, now you've got that on your desktop, and now you're sending back a digital code. I don't know. There's too many variables in there, from a technological, from a price, from a value, to a DRM. There's way too many hurdles in the theory. Sorry to shoot your dream down here, but I don't think that's something that's
well
possible.
Originally, here's the thing though. Originally, that was the rumor back in 2013 that Microsoft was thinking of doing that back then, plus the whole family share and everything. And it made sense because at the same time, they can make deals with third-party companies, and they will also get a cut too, if you sell the game digitally back to the store. The thing is, yes, you mentioned GameStop, Best Buy, and all these other retail stores, but the companies that made those games are not getting the cut at all. So they will prefer to get something out of this, though, more than approving selling used games to the stores,
so,
to the retail stores.
So my other argument would be the whole concept of backwards compatibility that has brought Microsoft's fan base back up into a positive spin. You know, they just announced, you know, backwards compatibility has been working, I don't want to say flawlessly, but damn well close to it. I mean, I was playing Modern Warfare 2 just the other weekend, and it took a little bit of download. I had to download a 9 gig file to my hard drive, but it worked. There's still people playing online, apparently, also. But
wow.
Yeah. No, I dropped into Modern Warfare 2 disc into the Xbox One, did a download, had to download the maps, done. It was literally took me 10, 15 minutes to download a 9 gig update file. And I had already pushed all my game saves up to the cloud, so I wasn't concerned about it. But what about people unlike Paris who don't, you know, I believe he sold everything Xbox related and PlayStation related early on before the new gen consoles came out. But what about people like me or you, Danny? Because I know you have stacks of discs as well, and you want to go back and throw that in. Oh, wait, there's no drive. How am I going to backwards compat now?
Yeah, you're right on that part. But at the same time, I still have my 360 console. And I've been downloading a lot of digital games too.
They don't make the 360 anymore. So what if you can't find one? Now you got all these games that you have no way to play.
I mean, for how long you guys going to be sticking with the whole 360 stuff? I mean,
but think about
it. You could download it digitally if you want.
Seeing that this is one of the big selling points right now for Microsoft's strategy, I think for a while. This is part of the point. This is why I'm telling you a disc drive is not going away. They're literally telling you, hey, we're going to allow you to keep your back catalog and bring it forward with you. And right. Now you're saying,
why delete it? Why go and buy a new copy, a new digital copy of,
again,
even if it's $10-$15, why do that when you already have it in your drawer? And
again,
why do you want to keep
it's
adding
a choice? It's a choice. If you want to keep your old hard drive, your own Xbox One, the older one, keep it if you want.
What if I don't have one? But what if I didn't? But Danny, see, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Okay, let's say I have not bought an Xbox One yet. Let's say I'm just that old grumpy PlayStation 4 gamer, and I was like, man, it's good Xbox, ain't getting that. And now all of a sudden you're like,
yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah, now I want one, right?
Yeah,
and I can't find the old one because they don't make it anymore.
Okay,
I can
you're
only,
exaggerating.
I can, you- I'm giving you a realistic scenario. 6 months from now, that could be a realistic scenario. This is not me exaggerating, right? So my only choice, or I don't want a used Xbox One. I want a brand new one with a warranty and all that. The only brand new one I can get does not have a disc drive. I got these stack of 360 games that I still want to play. I have no way to play them because my old 360 Red Ring of Death, and Microsoft laughed at me when I asked them if they could fix it. Now what do I do? This is why they're keeping a disc drive in there. They're not getting rid of it. Sorry.
You
lose.
You guys exaggerate. You're exaggerating.
Lost Planet. Oh,
that's it. You will never find, in 6 months, you will never find an Xbox One with a disc
but
drive.
But I shouldn't have to. I should be able to walk into a Best Buy and buy one brand new with a disc drive.
Oh, my God. You're exaggerating. It's going to be there available at the store. Oh my God. All right.
Pete, is he not seeing my point? They're going
I've seen your point.
They're
going to
discontinue the freaking giant microwave that is the Xbox One right now. They're going to make a slim model.
Why are you calling it a microwave, man?
No, because it's 40 pounds and it's humongous. Yeah. No, but I mean, again, I understand your concept of choice. And I applaud that. It's cute. But if I already have the disc in my cabinet, why am I going to give? Why do I want the choice of going ahead and buying another one? And like Paris said, if I didn't go ahead and buy an Xbox One, but I have this massive back catalog of 360 games still in my cabinet, and I want to play them, and I decide to go ahead and buy an Emerald, why?
All right.
All you got to do is throw the disc in. At the same time, if you're unlike, and we'll go in the complete inverse, let's say you've got the 360 and you've got an Xbox and you got a PS3 and you got a PS4. Do you want to keep stacking consoles next to your TV? Like, when does that stop being fun? Like, having to go and pull out a new console just to play 30 minutes of
and it goes against Microsoft and hell, probably even Sony strategy when this Neo comes out, of forward and backwards compatibility on your current system. So you don't feel compelled to have to run out day one and upgrade your system because your games are going to carry over.
You guys are going to be saying the same exact thing next gen. What about those discs? All those games that we bought on Xbox One on disc, how are we going to play those games on the next gen with no disc drive?
It's called they're going to keep a Blu-ray drive in there. That's what I'm telling you, Danny. It's not going away.
You know, Sony's not going to get rid of Blu-ray. That's how they're able to get so much content.
Here's my reason. But here's my reason why, before we go to the next topic. Here's my reason why. The thing is, remember, Microsoft has to pay a percentage to Sony because that's their thing, the Blu-ray. Am I right or am I wrong, Paris?
No, every company not named Sony has to do that. It's just part of business.
It's business, exactly.
Apple has to pay Samsung a license thing for using that. What is it? Their flash drives. I mean, and they're a direct competitor. So is Apple all of a sudden going to stop using Samsung products to make an iPhone?
No, but I'm saying eventually it's going to go away. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to tell you, eventually it's going to go away. So imagine Xbox 200 or whatever you want to call it.
Okay. You're correct.
Let me finish.
No, I'm being you. I'm cutting you off.
I know. I hate it. I hate you, Danny. So what if new system comes out, no disc drive, and everybody's complaining, oh my God, how am I going to play my Xbox One game on the next system? Dude, it's the same exact thing what you guys are going to be saying. Oh, well, they're not going to take that away. They're going to add that up.
But Danny, go back to what I said last episode. Like, well, let's just use Xbox as the example here, right?
Yes.
You're going to have the Scorpio. The Scorpio will be able to play Xbox One games, right? And it's probably going to be able to play 360 games. Your Xbox One is going to be able to play 360 games, Xbox One games, and Scorpio games. And like we said, when we get to the system beyond the Scorpio, then it's going to be reasonable to say, you know what? That system probably can't play 360 and Xbox One games. That's my point. It's not going to be immediate. There will be time before we get to that. We'll be in the 2020s before you'll stop being able to play Xbox 360 games. So until then, guess what? There's going to be a disc drive in that system. Because you're alienating your customers. Phil Spencer's going to get on that stage and he's going to tout backwards compatibility. He's going to tout all these great games on the 360. Hey, you got your old games, your discs, you're still going to be able to play them. And what you're saying is, no, he's going to get up on that stage and say, guess what, y'all? We got Xbox Slim, no disc drive. Remember all them copies you had? They're gone.
You're right. In that part, you're right. But this is the part that I think I'm right. I think that we might see not one, not two, maybe three different consoles announced at the press conference. And the reason why I'm saying this, Paris, let me finish before. Look, I think the reason why is because the choice from the consumers. You want disc drive, go with that. You want digital, it'll be a little bit cheaper, go with that. Or you want to wait for the big one, most powerful console coming out in 2017, or you could go to the cheapest one that we have right now that has been out since 2013. So we have four different consoles.
Oh my God. You're not doing that.
Let me dream.
I cannot believe you just said that.
Let me dream.
I cannot believe you just said that.
Let me dream.
Dream.
At least you have a choice.
Do you smoke the whole blunt before you start recording the show?
Yes,
or do
I
you
did.
Just
yes,
like,
I did.
Take like puff, puff, record?
No. You know what it is? I just feel that it. I see it coming. I just see it. I see the digital. I need digital copies.
They're gonna have four. I can't even talk. Oh my god! They're gonna have four consoles.
Not four. Remember, it's the older one from 2013.
Oh my god!
Two of like one digital and one disk drive, and the other one is in 2017, the most powerful one.
How do you say these with a straight face?
I don't know.
Oh, that's right. Hold on, Paris. Choice.
Hashtag choice. Let me dream.
Oh my god. Confuse the living crap out of the consumer base. 12 consoles with different features. Danny's dream. Hashtag Danny's dream.
I can see my wife right now standing in Best Buy calling me on the phone. What the hell is all these damn Xboxes in here? Which one am I supposed to get?
All right. So you only think it's only going to be two, and that's it. But
they're going to make the last episode we talked about, Paris.
So last episode, they're going to have the streaming device.
That's
everything
different, though. That's a tiny little box that you still need a gaming PC in your office to be able to play games because it's streaming from that. That's completely different.
But if your wife goes to the stores, they're not going to know about that. She's like, oh, $100? Oh, I could play games with this. All right.
A lot
of people are going to think that way, man. The regular consumer that don't read blogs.
No.
Am I right or am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Oh.
So you're telling me there's people right now going into Best Buy buying Steam Links thinking they got a Steam machine, and then they get home and go, wait.
Well, first of all, people don't know what the hell the Steam Link is, the regular consumers. They don't know what that is.
But that would be the same thing with this Xbox TV thing. It's a different device. It's like an Amazon Fire Stick or an Apple TV. It's not a console.
It's not a but it depends on the name.
You're saying they're going to make a full, I can't believe we're still talking about this, but they're going to make a full-featured Xbox One and just take the disc out, but then they're going to still make another Xbox One with the disc.
I just came up with that concept right now because honestly, I think they're going to come up with a digital one. Why not? Release it.
Not in 2016, they're not. It's cost prohibitive. And it's confusing your market.
How many Xbox do you think they came out? Xbox 360s. It was like three, right?
Over an eight, nine year period.
Actually, four.
Yeah, not in one year.
It was the
Phil Spencer up there doing magic tricks with like 100 different consoles.
Which one will he pull out now?
Hey, look. Honestly, I just came up with that right now. Honestly, I just came up because I'm like, yo, it makes sense. They might announce two consoles, one digital, one not digital. I mean, I don't know, man. I feel that they should just announce this digital stuff. People were going to be like, Godfrey, you're crazy. But oh, whatever. It's all good. By the way, speaking of Xbox, Paris, I know earlier today you sent us a link of there's a price cut now on the
Xbox One. They're officially making it $299 versus there's been plenty of deals and things with various retailers that you can get it even cheaper than $299. But the official price of the Xbox One has been $350. But now they're saying the official retail price of the Xbox One is going to be $299. And I mean, obviously, so close to E3, this is most likely anticipation of them announcing a Slim, and the Slim will be $299. And according to you, it won't have a disc.
Hey, you want the disc one? Buy the $299 version. There you go.
Oh my God.
Pick one of five Xbox One consoles.
Hey, look, I'm just coming up with crazy ass predictions. Look, you say Lost Planet. I don't see that happening, but hey, I let you dream.
But we didn't spend 20 minutes on the podcast arguing that point, and I didn't add on to it and go, well, you know what? They're going to make Lost Planet 5, 6, 12, 18, and 19, and they're all going to be $50, and you can choose because it's choice. Hashtag choice.
Hashtag choice. Oh, my God. That was good. That was a classic. That was a very, very classic, man. Anything else?
You know, he actually asked the second question in that voicemail. We got sidetracked. He asked about the NX, and he thinks it might be an open system that might include like Android gaming and things like that. It's an interesting concept. I don't see Nintendo opening up their platform though to let other people in. Basically, it's going to be a closed platform, in my opinion, whatever this NX is going
to
be.
Yeah, I don't see that happening at all. Nintendo is very careful with it when it comes to the whole like their games and everything, because if you have it open, most likely it's possible to get a bootleg all these games, you know, so they don't want that to happen. So
see, only Danny with these criminal thoughts, not me. I didn't even think that.
No, but it's true. But it's being real, because if you actually think of like those games on Android, it's been happening a lot. iOS is way harder than to get games like that, you know. But yeah, Android games is all over the place, and the reason is because open source. Like in a way, it's not. I like the concept, but being open, but at the same time, it hurt the developers big time, man, when that happens. So yeah.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
I mean, anything else? Any other emails?
Hell, we didn't go so long. You know what? I got one email. I got one email I want to read, and then we can, maybe that'll be it for this week.
All right. Hashtag four consoles. Remember that, guys. Four consoles. Go for it, Paris.
Okay. This is from, my God, I can't even do it. Okay, here we go. So this is Devin. He goes, "Hi guys, shout out from a Canadian living in Scotland. First off, just want to say that I'm a huge fan of the show and devout listener for the last 3 years. Keep up the great work. I also want to send a shout out to Paris, a grumpy old gamer dad like me." Fist bump. Yes, because I'm grumpy and I'm a dad. "Listening to him speak sometimes makes me think that we were brothers in a former life, especially when he lays a smackdown on y'all for interrupting Danny," because he ain't talking about Pete. "Joking aside, there's two topics I was hoping you guys would cover. Number one, PlayStation Neo, X1, whatever. With the recent news that AMD has convinced Sony and Microsoft to adopt the Polaris chip architecture rather than spend more money on a custom 14, what is that? What is NM? Nanometer? Yes. That's what that is? Yeah, nanometer. 14 nanometer design.
If you want to get fancy, nanometer, but I don't think that's how you say it. But
yeah. I don't know. I'm from St. Petersburg, Florida. I don't know what fancy word. What does this really mean for the 0.5 consoles? See, this is off the rails already. Especially if you consider that Polaris allegedly will have native DirectX 12 and Vulkan support on board. Are we seriously meant to believe that developers will not take advantage of this feature set, even if they do ensure that version 1.0 consoles are still supported by default? My thoughts are this. Neither Sony nor Microsoft have any clue what they may or may not do over the next 3 to 5 years with these consoles. The DX12 feature is a contentious issue upon itself, as it is one of the few feathers in the Xbox One's cap. Yet I believe that Sony will license DX12 from Microsoft in due course." Oh, really, Danny? So Sony might license something from Microsoft. Imagine that. But let's just go with discless future, because that makes more sense.
Four consoles.
Yeah, he wants our thoughts on this. So we'll circle back to that. So then he can go, second question. VR. "You guys have no doubt had a chance to try Oculus, Morpheus, and others. My question is this. While the experiences that are coming soon will be immersive, and likely a lot of fun, could we be approaching a very dangerous time in the gaming industry? I have two young kids, and I fear that some of these VR experiences, especially the ones I don't know about, trying out a friend's rig, etc., could be so psychologically powerful that we'd be entering a new age of game-induced psychosis and addiction. It is generally accepted that gaming in excess is having a negative impact on kids' social skills. 100% agree with that. And your ability to cope in team-based environment, which is why team sports are more important than ever nowadays. Imagine how accelerated and frightening that such problems could be in VR. Bear in mind that today's average 10-year-old is not playing Plants vs. Zombies. And thinking about that, I don't know if I want to meet a 10-year-old who just spent 7 hours straight playing the newest Silent Hill or Call of Duty, where they could not see or hear anything other than a completely immersive and horrific killing environment. This is Clockwork Orange stuff, and we're making it completely voluntary. No doubt my opinion is likely in the minority, but I'd love for you guys to break out this potentially scary future where kids could suffer the most. Do we need to tread with caution? Thanks for reading and all the best. Devin, thank you for sending an email. Let's tackle number two first, because being a parent and VR being this new technology, we really don't know the long-term effects on it, and that's why I'm very... I do want to kind of, like I've said in the past, sit it out and wait till the technology matures a little more before diving in. And that is something to think about. You know, mm-hmm. if these couch potato kids that all they do is play Call of Duty all day, if they're now playing Call of Duty in VR and they're literally on the battlefield shooting guns all day, is there going to be an effect of that? I mean, we won't know until time goes by and we start seeing some studies on this and just start to see patterns and how this is affecting behavior. And I don't think it just applies to kids either. I think this applies to adults. This is a new technology. This is something that human beings have not experienced yet. It's going to be brand new. So I don't know. What do you guys think? It is something that gives me pause. I'll put it that way. But what do you think?
I mean, there's kids that are addicted to video games, right? Regular, you know, their TVs, but also mobile phones too, Paris, right?
Yeah. Like
everybody,
my God, my 20, daughter.
24/7, don't even talk to no one. They're just all the time on their phones, either chatting or playing games or something. So I don't know. And it's, I never thought about this, man, because our parents would probably say the same thing when we were playing video games nonstop during the Nintendo days and Atari days back then, you know? So I mean, at the end of the day, it all depends on the parent. They need to have, they have to have the control and tell the kids, that's it, take a break, you know, take a break from playing. Because the thing is, if they keep on playing 24/7, that's not good, man. Kids need to have that space to just take a break from gaming and just go outside or talk with the family or you know what I'm saying? Like, just go out and stuff, not 24/7 playing this, man. So it all depends on the parent too, man. You know, you're right, Paris. I think waiting and seeing what's going to happen in the future, maybe the technology is going to get a lot better and everything, man. Because right now, nobody actually knows the side effects of this, man. You know, if people play this all the time.
I'm taking a wait and see approach because, like you guys have said, we don't know what is the side effect from a personal or psychological standpoint. We don't know what the long-term effects are of having that visual stimuli that close to the eyeballs. We don't know if there's going to be any, I'm sure that they've done some minor, long-term, and I can't even call it more like short-term studying on whether having the light exposure to your eyes for that long of a period is going to cause any long-term potential damage to your eyes. I know there's always been that old wives' tale of don't sit too close to the TV is bad for your eyeballs. And scientifically it wasn't true, but like you guys said, and I'll be the first one to admit, never even crossed my mind the psychological consequences of having that. Like, I've seen videos of people doing the full VR with like a zombie attack and people freaking the bleep out because it's so realistic. You have that full immersion into the situation. It's totally different when you're sitting there looking at a 16x9 square on your wall in comparison to having a fully enclosed, full VR enabled simulation. And you can't tell the difference between real or fake or the whole situation. Mm-hmm. So we don't know how psyches are going to react as a result of these experiences. It may throw them mentally for a loop, may cause issues. We don't know. And that's something like Paris said, tread carefully, tread slowly. It's especially with anything that's new. And as bad as this sounds, let other people be the guinea pigs. Maybe. Don't let your kids be the first ones on the block to get it. Let some other kids on the street play with it and see how they react, and then react as a, you know, and then make your decision.
Now, if you guys, listeners out there, go back to one of our older episodes, I believe it's when Paris got back from the Microsoft event that they had in San Francisco. He had a chance to play Minecraft for the first time, Minecraft VR for the first time. And one of the first things that they mentioned to him is, don't stand up, because then mentally you think, okay, your mind's going to say, okay, you can walk now, go to the front. You know, remember that, Paris?
That was real.
And that will drive you crazy, because you're thinking, I need to walk. Wait a minute, but wait, I can't walk. Let me sit down. So that's the first thing they tell you. You have to be sitting down if you would like to play a game like this, you know, so. And that's not the only games. There's probably going to be tons of other VR games that's going to be similar to that. You can't walk around like that. So what about the first question?
Yeah. So going back to his first question, you know, he was talking about AMD with the Polaris chip and what is that going to mean for the, you know, these, the Neo and the Scorpio, and the fact that we're going to have native DX12 support and Vulkan support on these GPUs. And he was thinking that, yeah, Sony's probably going to want to take advantage of DX12 as well, and they'll probably strike a deal with Microsoft to get a, you know, a licensing thing going. I think, why not? Why not? Look, this is where the architecture is going. Matter of fact, as we're recording this right now at Computex, AMD's about to have an event talking about Polaris, so we may actually have some additional information about that architecture right after this recording. But yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with him at all. I think it would be smart for Sony to want to take advantage of both DX12 and Vulkan at the same time. So, I mean, we'll see. We will see.
Do you agree with that part, that they don't know what they're going to be doing between 3 to 5 years from now?
No, I do. I disagree with you. I'm thank you for bringing that up. I disagree on that, because like we were talking last week, the plan is one ecosystem, one architecture, and they're just going to carry it forward. They're going to stop worrying about making the hardware these unique pieces of architecture, right? No more cell processors and all that crazy stuff. No more ESRAM and all the silly things that's been happening here in the last few years. They're going to make a machine that can support the previous generation, the current generation, and the future generation, you know, and then they're just going to iterate. So that's why we're going to start seeing hardware upgrades every couple years now versus every 6 to 7 years. And like we said last week, that Xbox One you bought in 2013 will still be able to play, and I'm using air quotes, Xbox games until probably 2019, 2020, which would be its normal console cycle. But during that time, you're going to see two hardware revisions with being able to take more advantage of GPU power, CPU power, and, you know, memory, et cetera. So I just think this is where it's headed and where it needs to go, because it's just how technology is advancing. We can't be held back by hardware that's 6 and 7 years old, and we're playing games. Basically, developers are being, and I know I'm sidetracking. You remember that conversation I had with Mandy at an E3, God, like 2011 or something like that? I was like,
it was 2011.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically what I was saying is developers can't innovate on their games because they're limited by the hardware. And basically these console makers are trying to fix that problem now. And you're not just seeing the innovations on the PC side anymore, because they're going to have consoles that maybe not as powerful as high-end PCs, but they're going from just being mid-tier to more higher tier. You know, they're not ultra tier, but they're kind of that higher tier now. So you're starting to see take advantage of a lot of games on what we would consider quote unquote high settings or ultra settings versus medium or low settings that we currently get on consoles.
All right. Anything else, Pete? You're good?
I'm good. Before
we wrap it up?
I'm good. I'm trying to watch the AMD live Computex now.
See, oh my God. I love how I say that. I'm tapping out on the podcast.
All right. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes. And you can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and all the podcast directories. You could give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Also, SpeakPipe. You could all go there to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. You could also leave us a message there through your computer or mobile devices. And that's about it. We're going to wrap it up. And stay tuned. I believe in a couple of days, we're going to go to E3. So I'm very, very excited. I can't wait to see P in Paris. And I'm going to tell them right in their faces, four consoles. Four.
You know what, Danny? Because Pete and Danny are going to be able to come to my house before we go to E3, so they get to meet my family and all that. You say four consoles, my dog's going to bite you. I'm just letting you
know. look, I'm 100% sure that's not going to happen. That dog is going to love me.
I'm going to start trading them right now.
Oh, no. Paris is going to take a picture of mine, cut it up, and put it right there.
I'm going to put four. I'm going to just say four. And then he's going to get whipped every time he hears the word never four.
Oh, my God. No, but on the real, So those are listening. The reason why I say four is the older console.
Oh, my God. He won't let it go.
Two consoles announcing now. And then they're going to say another one for next year. There's four. Paris, said two. Oh my God. It might be two at E3. So if you add it all up, it's four.
You know what? Can I say this before we get out of here? I just got to give a shout out to Charles over at the Coalition and Khalif Adams over at Spawn on Me, because on Twitter today they said the funniest damn thing I've ever heard in my life. They called, we're talking about something about being grumpy or whatever, and one of them called me. There was like, if Destiny had a new achievement, it's like instead of the Taken King, they called me the Hating King.
The Hating King, the Dream Killer.
They called you earlier today. They called you the Salt God instead of like Little B the Base God. You're the Salt God.
There you go. Yeah, one of the tweets to their post said, "Hello, my name is a Dream Killer." So, like, Paris, you're killing my dream, Paris. Everybody, four. Remember that. Say 24/7, and it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen during E3. All right, we're out. Until next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.